Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Carolyn Yeager with the Revisionist Report on Monday, July 22nd. This is a powerful day, being 8-22-11. Not the most powerful. This year, we're going to have an 11-11-11 in November, of course. Now, that is a power day. Don't think from this that I'm into the occult, because I definitely am not, but I like numbers. Today, I'm going to talk about sex, and in particular, Adolf Hitler's sex life. Not that I know anything about it, nor does anyone, but because so many people like to talk as if they do, one has to look at this with a clear, critical eye. If you were listening on Friday, this past Friday, you heard Dave call in at the end of the program, Dave from Massachusetts. And he had a question about whether Adolf Hitler was a virgin all his life. And I said, absolutely not. And he wanted to know, you know, what I would say about it. And I said a few things in the time that was there. But then, you know, I said that I mentioned Krista Schroeder. And I said that I did not know why she said what she did. But then I thought afterwards, well, I do know. But actually, I'm glad I didn't say it, because I had remembered it wrongly. And so I checked back in the book, and then I did some more checking, and I've got some things to say that are documented by certain people who knew him today, which I'll go into in a minute. But this morning I Googled Hitler's sex life, just to see what I would find. And, you know, what came up was the top result was Holocaust Understanding at Kimmel.net. And the second result was Schickelgruber.net. So I was just looking at Alexander Kimmel's site. He says he's a Holocaust survivor, and he titles his website a Holocaust Online Magazine. And he says it's Holocaust Understanding and Prevention. Now the page that comes up when you with this search request is titled Hitler and the Jews, and it's not till the bottom of the article that he speaks of Hitler's lack of sexuality, and yet this is the top choice, I guess, that people go to for some reason when they want to find out about this. Now, he quotes, he said, here's his paragraph on Hitler's sex. Now, and I want to tell you before I even start that everything in here is completely false. Everything, and I could explain why if I want to, I don't know. But here's what he says. Hitler's abnormal sexual development is an important factor in his behavior. He quotes someone. It is well known that Hitler's sex life was bizarre. As a young man, he repressed direct sexuality and projected his erotic energy in grandiose fantasies. Well, I got to interrupt right here in the middle of this quote, because, you know, it's not well known that Hitler's sex life was bizarre. Those are the kind of words that are used. I think this is taken from Waite. I will come back and explain more about this and continue after the short break. Be right back.
Honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-489-0192. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactive Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-489-0192. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-489-0192. That's 1-800-489-0192.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Carolyn Yeager back from the break, and I was talking about this Alexander Kimmel's website. Because of all these people who want to talk about Hitler's sex life, and you find all this stuff on the internet, and as I said, this is the number one selection at Google when Google search when you put in Hitler's sex life. I don't know why, but he is quoting. I've started reading, and he is quoting from Waite guy, Robert G.L. Waite, who I wrote about in my article, and I have to recommend that article. Once again, it is titled The Fake Legends of Adolf Hitler's Jewish Grandfather, How and Why It Got Started and Why It's Not True. It's at my website, CarolynYager.com. You can find it listed there on the recent articles on the front page, and you can also go to my articles. Click on my articles at the top and go to all of my articles that are there, and you'll find it there. Now, I got in some to these fake stories about his sex life because it all goes together in one big thing, in all of these fake stories about Hitler. It includes, the fact that, his genealogy, which they lie about, they don't know, and then they make up all these stories, and then they get into the sex angle and so on. It all plays in the same. It's all about the same slander. So anyway, this Waite, he wrote a book called The Psychopathic God, which is just junk. I'm telling you, really junk. But it's highly quoted, and this is what is being quoted here, which I'll go back to. So he says, and I was telling you that when they say it is well known, that's a sign. You need to have your red alert come up when you see things like that, because that's a way of saying something that's not true, is no source for it. It's just made up. They just say it's well known as though, well, everybody accepts this, and so you should accept it too. Well, it's not well known that Hitler's sex life was bizarre. That is the kind of stories that have been put out about him all along. And I don't think this is any surprise or to most of my listeners. So I won't belabor that point. But, you know, they like to say he repressed his sexuality, projected it into fantasies and so on. Now they say, goes on. Now this is a quote. So it's a quote from, has to be a quote from this, wait. As a young man, in his 30s, he was consistently attracted to young childlike women who clearly resembled his mother. That is nonsense. Where does that come from? In his 30s was in the 1920s. And there's no evidence. There's nothing that says he was attracted to childlike women or that they resembled his mother. We don't know who he was attracted to. He did have some women friends. He did have some, you know, but I don't think there's any idea of who they were exactly. So now it goes on to say this could therefore be more easily dominated. They could therefore be more easily dominated than mature women, but at the same time serve as a symbolically mother figure. See, this is just nonsense. Just, you know, Then Waite's review of the material concerning, I don't know where the quote ends because he doesn't have the ending quote mark. He just has the beginning. So this is badly written. But he says, Waite's review of the material concerning Hitler's relationship with women makes it quite clear that he had an intense, unusual effect on them, probably because of his odd sexual demands. Well, there you go, probably. They know nothing about his sex life or his sexual demands. So little is known about Hitler's personal life in those years. They just make stuff up. And then it says, virtually every one of at least several young women who were close to Hitler attempted or succeeded in committing suicide. Now, absolutely false. It's known that Eva Braun attempted suicide. How seriously she did so is questionable, but twice. She did it twice. Because there's there's different ideas about that, but she definitely was very much taken by Adolf Hitler, didn't want him to drop her, and didn't want to, she may have been serious in her suicide attempts. She may have been kind of using them to get his attention, which did seem to work. But that's something we can go into in a minute. But anyway, then there was Angela Gelly, his niece, who her death is still under a lot of controversy. I don't have the answer to that. But she was messing around with this gun that he had given her for her protection when she was alone, and she shot herself with it. Either she did it intentionally or accidentally. But so they call that a suicide. And I think there was one other woman, some actress or something, who did a suicide attempt. She also didn't succeed. I think it might have been more drama. And so he was sensitive to that he didn't want women committing suicide over him. And that I'll go into that a little bit more later on when we talk about Eva Braun. So, I'm just pointing this out. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but the stories that are there. Now, this Schicklgruber page is titled Hitler and His Libido. That's the number two selection on Google. Now, this is a very professional-looking webpage, well-designed, lots of pictures, a lot of which don't really relate to anything, pictures of Hitler, pictures of Eva Braun, and some just pictures that are just sex pictures. There's a picture of a sexy woman looking like some, movie star kind of pose in a slinky dress. And it's got Eva Braun's head on it. I think somebody stuck her head on this photo. I don't think that's her. I don't think she took that, pose that way. But this is the kind of thing you find. I saw, looking at it real quickly, that there was one outright lie under a photograph. There's a little caption. And the last part of the caption says that according to Krista Schroeder, who I'm going to refer to here today, that's Hitler's private secretary, one of them. This says outright that, according to her, one woman took off her bra in front of him in order to seduce him. He looked terribly embarrassed and asked her to put it back. Well, I do believe this is an outright lie because I've read her book. In fact, I went over it, over the weekend to prepare for today's program. And there is no such thing like that, not anything like that. And so this may have been taken from another story that I'm going to tell you, which is totally different. But it may have been, you know, inspired by that. They thought, well, they just change the story around altogether and talk about, you know, put it out like this. Now, unfortunately, there are so many people have access to all these pages, go here looking for, they do a search, they come up with the top selections, they think they must be good at this one. They look good to them. They don't know how to distinguish information. And they read this stuff, and they don't necessarily believe it, but they think, well, this might be true. You know, I don't know. They think it's a big question that all these things could be true. But the fact is, there are ways to determine pretty much, you know, what's true and what isn't true. And but in the end, when it comes to any famous person's private life, all you have are stories that people put out or what has been actually done out in the open by them or said by them. Who knows, you know? Who can say just exactly how many women Adolf Hitler slept with or didn't sleep with or what kind of sex he had? Who can say except the people participating, him and whatever partner he would have had? And what do we have from them? No, we have it all from just it's not even hearsay. It's just pure made up stuff by enemies. So I will start by talking about Christa Schroeder. Christa Schroeder was one of Hitler's longtime secretaries. Now I want to say this here about him because he never sat and wrote things. They say he hardly ever sat at his desk. He didn't sit at a desk and work. He was always walking and talking. You know, he'd like to walk back and forth. When he had guests and visitors, and even important ones, they would walk in the garden, or they would walk through the hallways or whatever, and they would talk and discuss. He didn't like to, sit that much. And he certainly didn't sit and write. He dictated. So when he was walking, when he was thinking, he wanted to have his secretaries there often. They were on call is the thing. He always had two secretaries on call. That means they were there ready and waiting for if he needed them. And sometimes they were just waiting around. Well, they'd do other things. They had other work they could do. But they had to be on call because when he got, well, not so much when he got inspired, but when he was ready to have things, to say things and write things and put out his ideas and so on for different purposes, he would call one of them in, and they were very good at taking dictation in shorthand on some kind of special typewriter they had. And so this is the way he operated. Well, when we get back, I'll tell you what Christa Schroeder had to say about Hitler's love life.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract! A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arrives by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experience process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited...
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Carolyn Yeager talking about Adolf Hitler's sex life this morning, for whatever we can learn about it. I'm doing this to counteract the false stories that are put out. And I'm talking about Krista Schroeder. And let me say that I invite callers at 1-800-313-9443. I don't think I'm going to get to my second topic today. I'll probably be on this one for the rest of the program as I see how I'm going. So now Krista Schroeder became a secretary for the National Socialist Party before Hitler became chancellor. And then after he became chancellor, she was called to become one of his personal secretaries in Berlin, which she did. And she was a woman who never married. Although she was not a lesbian, she had dates and men, but she wasn't the most feminine of women. Pictures of her, she looks, well, wouldn't call her mannish, but just not, I don't know. But she was, Hitler once said that she thought like a man. He liked her. He liked all his secretaries. And he was very nice to them because he appreciated them. Hitler was a man who really appreciated those who you know, did service for him. And he treated them as very courteously and as well as he could. Now, she was intelligent. She was capable. She was a very good secretary, and she liked to talk ideas, not just women talk. She liked being around the men and talking with the men and so on. And she also liked Adolf Hitler, but she did not like Eva Braun. And she made no bones about that she thought Eva Braun was not good enough for the Führer. Now, she didn't go around, you know, announcing that or anything. That would have been most very out of place. But that clearly comes through in her book. Her book is titled He Was My Chief, and on page 132-33, she writes, Hitler appears to have kept his love life platonic throughout. Yes, even his relationship with Eva Braun was a facade. Hitler's private photographer, Heinrich Hoffmann, was convinced that Hitler had nothing with Eva Braun. And then there's a footnote 10. And in footnote 10, we're going to find what this was based on. You know, what Hearst's saying here, that Hitler's didn't have a sexual relationship with Eva Braun. Footnote 10 says, in 1945, Hoffman said, quote, "From 1930 onwards, Hitler often came to my studio and on such occasions took the opportunity to get to know Eva Braun and saw her often." 1930 onwards. "In my opinion," he says, "Hitler's relationship with Eva Braun was always platonic." Now, let's remember that this was, he said this in 1945. Therefore, he was said this to, while he was being interrogated, it seems pretty obvious to me, from by the American military interrogators after the defeat of Germany and everybody was arrested and so on. So this is where this information comes from those interrogation records. And he says, "In my opinion." Now, maybe he's giving that opinion because it's his real opinion, or maybe he's giving that opinion because that's what he wants to say to them. I don't know, but it doesn't say anything besides an opinion. Now, the footnote 10 goes on to add another person. It says in 1945, Julius Schaub, or Schaub, was asked, and Julius Schaub was an old Nazi comrade of Hitler's from the beginning. He was Hitler's personal assistant. He had a very in position there, and he spent a lot. He was in Hitler's company most of the time. You know, I mean, he did all kinds of things for Hitler, and he was one of those people that Hitler felt he could trust to carry out his requests just as he gave them to him. So that's who Julius Schaub was. I have nothing bad to say about him myself. But he was asked, it says in this footnote, did Hitler love Eva Braun? And Schaub's answer is he liked her. Now, this was obviously an interrogation because then the footnote goes on later he was asked. So this was supposedly, he said this at one time. He answered this, he liked her. And then later he was interrogated again because the question is, what is that supposed to mean? Why? What did you mean when you said in Munich that he liked her? So this is an interrogator from who is looking at that that interrogation of Schaub and continuing to interrogate him some more. So this time Schaub simply says he was fond of her. Now the footnote concludes from this and actually says, these two statements made after the war show unequivocally that Hitler was not the lover of Eva Braun. Well, I would not say, I think that's quite an amazing statement in this footnote in this book. I would not say that these statements by Hoffman and Schaub show unequivocally anything. They show what these two men said to the interrogators. But they don't show unequivocally that they were not lovers. And the footnote was written by the editor because Krista Schroeder died before the book was actually published, and he had to finish putting it all together. So we'll be right back to continue with this.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee study found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back, and I have a caller. I'm going to ask the caller to hold on until I finish with what Schroeder has written in her book, and then we'll take the caller and then go on to Heinz Linga. Now, Schroeder... And I'm pointing this out because for the purpose of getting people or encouraging people to look very closely at what is offered as proof or as evidence of what is being said. And in many cases, surprisingly, there is none at all. And this is, you know, but even if there is some, like with this footnote, you have to look at it very carefully, and objectively, and I'm not saying you should just go around denying everything. I don't do that. I don't believe I do that, but I do. I'm critical by nature, so I'm able to be critical. And I find that people are not critical enough, and this is kind of sad. Anyway, Schroeder goes on to write elsewhere. Now this is from her short chapter on Ava Brown. She had a short chapter on Gretel Slezak, too, which I'll go into, and a couple other people, I think. But now, Ava Brown, she says, confided to her hairdresser. And this is from a statement by Klaus von Schirach, it says, that Hitler never had sexual intercourse with her. Now, this is at best third-hand information. This came from Klaus von Schirach. To who, I don't know, to Schroeder, perhaps. Now, he is, excuse me, the son of Balder von Schirach, who was Hitler's, head of the Hitler Youth, Hitler Jugend, and he was a good guy, and he was married to Henrietta Hoffmann, who was the daughter of Heinrich Hoffmann, who was Hitler's photographer, personal photographer, and good friend, and who was quoted above, and they were new, you know, until, well, throughout the whole time. And Balder Shirak and Henrietta were, you know, spent a lot of time with Hitler at his personal home. And yet now this son was born in 1935, so in 1945 he was only 10 years old. So obviously it later on he got this idea, and he told this to Schroeder, I guess. Anyway, I don't put any stock in that whatsoever. Now, Schroeder also says Ada Klein said the same to Nellie Schulter. Now, here we're getting into women's gossip. Wife of Bormann's gynecologist, Dr. Schulter, who was friendly with Hitler in the 1920s. Now, this is even more far-fetched, or maybe just equally so, because Ada Klein also liked Hitler very much and had a friendship with him, but that was not sexual. I mean, nobody thought it was. But now, she told this to Nellie Schulter, who is this wife of this gynecologist who knew Hitler in the 20s. Well, the 20s was a long way back from the late 30s and 40s. But what's so funny is that that they mentioned that this is Bormann's wife's gynecologist. Well, I don't know what that has to do with it. But now the thing is that this is such hearsay, you know. This is just such total hearsay that there seems to be a desire among these women to deny that Eva Braun was had a sexual relationship with Hitler. And I think it has a lot to do with female jealousies, and they didn't like Eva Braun. Eva Braun was not popular with a lot of these women. They had their little jealousies or something. Ada Klein was another one of these more intellectual type women, like Krista Schroeder, and Eva Braun was not. So that was one reason they thought she wasn't good enough. And the fact that she... Well, I won't go in. I don't think I have time to go into all of this. Might come up in the call with the callers. So we'll say that I will just go on from that. That was page 136-39. Schroeder writes this, which is really interesting. I think this is where the bra story came from. During a time of waiting for news, she says, this kind of a time when Hitler had nothing special, you know, pressing going on. He was actually waiting for news about Austria in 38. Schroeder invited Hitler to see her new apartment in the Reich Chancellery Park that Albert Speer had renovated for the secretaries. Well, Hitler had some time, and he was always nice to his secretaries, and he liked to spend a little time with people like that. And he agreed to go over there, and after he arrived with a manservant who gave Schroeder a bottle of wine or a bottle of something, maybe it was water, special water, but it was a Ballschirmer or something, as a gift, the man left. Schroeder had alerted her friend, the opera singer Gretel Slezak, who was present also. Now, Greta Slezak was a beautiful young woman, an artiste, who was, you know, in the good graces of the, you know, and, well, Hitler liked all these artists, and I've talked about that before. But she was friends and in the circle, so to speak, but she really liked Adolf Hitler. And so on this occasion, Schroeder says that Gretel brought two candelabras, which she thought would create a romantic atmosphere. Now, Hitler didn't know she was going to be there, but there she was. So it says, now quoting from from Schroeder, sitting next to Hitler on the English sofa, she tried to stroke his hand, but he fended her off gently, saying, "Gretel, you know I can't allow that." Although I had discreetly left the room a few times, Hitler maintained his reserve, and a few hours later, his manservant retrieved him intact. So, you know, my comment on this is that these are women's wiles, which Hitler was quite aware of them. He liked women, but he knew that he needed to protect himself and his reputation. He was very disciplined, and he was not about to go along with any woman who was trying to seduce him, even if it was a woman that he liked and was very attractive, because he knew what could happen. You know, he was very careful trying not to do anything foolish, since the aristocrats of the nation were always looking to ridicule him. And also, you know, Churchill was always ridiculing him, Roosevelt, all of the enemies, and even those, but even Germans in the Third Reich, you know, in Germany, those who wanted to look down on him. And he knew that. And he didn't let it get to him, but he was careful not to do anything that would feed their stories and so on. And I believe that this is a large reason why he settled with Ava, because she had proven to him that she was trustworthy. She satisfied his needs. He could have a relationship with a woman, and the same woman, and not you know, be prey to all this other stuff. And I think it managed to keep other women away from him. Now, some people might say, well, it was platonic, and he used her to keep other women away from him because he didn't want to deal with these other women, and he wanted a reason why he didn't have, you know, go around with them or whatever. But I for reasons that we're going to come on a little bit later, I don't think that's the truth. Now, just a little bit more about Schroeder. She tells of an account on New Year's Eve, 1938, after a late dinner with his usual circle, who had just gone downstairs to view a film. Now, this was the kind of the regular routine that they had on these gatherings. And now this was New Year's Eve, remember? So they had all had a little more to drink. And Schroeder says, Gretel Slezak had given me a letter to hand to Hitler privately without anybody seeing, and she managed to detain him until there were just the two of them left in the room. She says she gained, because now, you know, Schroeder was a secretary, but she was invited to all kinds of dinners and parties, and the regular, she took her meals with all the people in Hitler's entourage, because she was a part of his entourage, being on duty with him. So she spent quite a bit of time with him, but she was not intimate. I mean, he didn't share intimate details of anything with her. Now, she says that she was a little tipsy from dinner, so she handed him the letter, and at the same time she was praising, she said she found herself praising Gretel Slezak to Hitler. She and Gretel were friends. That's what it appears to be. And she finished her little monologue to Hitler with saying, Ava is nothing for you, mein Führer. And she says, instead of annoyance at this impertinent remark, Hitler looked at me in amusement and replied, but she is enough for me. And Schroeder then writes, enough? Where was the great love that so many writers have been in the know since 1945? Well, again, I think these women have love on their mind, but I think that Hitler was not interested in a great love, or because his great love was for Germany, and he was not, he did not want to be distracted from that. And he even said that he could not marry and have a wife because he could not give to a wife the commitment and, you know, what she would deserve from her husband, because he was totally devoted to Germany and Germany's welfare. And he really believed that. And I believe he believed that. I believe that's what it was. And that is why Ava Braun fit so well into his life, even though others thought she was not good enough, because she didn't compete. She was there. Now there's a little bit more. Ava's bedroom at Berchtesgaden was adjoining to Hitler's. Theirs were the only bedrooms on the first floor. The guest rooms were all on the second floor. And when Hitler was there, they had these adjoining bedrooms. Why would they have adjoining bedrooms? And they designed it that way if they weren't intimate. When Ava came to the Berlin bunker in 45, a room was made for her adjoining to Hitler's, the same as they had at Berchtesgaden. And now Hitler would not only married Ava before he died, But they shot themselves together, and they did that. He wanted her to leave. He did not want her to kill herself. But he couldn't talk her out of it. That's what she wanted. And another thing about him is that when he did not force people to do things that they were unwilling to do. That's the truth. I can go into that another time. But Giesler recounts Hitler telling him in 1944, Hermann Giesler, his architect, that when he retired after the war, which he was planning to do, Hitler, he was pretty worn out, he would marry Miss Brown, as he called her, to Giesler, and she would be the mistress of the new home that Giesler was designing in Linz. And this was a promise that he gave to her, and that was one reason why she accepted the life that she had with him, because he kind of promised her that eventually he was going to step down, and then he would be able to have a more normal life with her when he was no longer Führer. And I think that from all this, he had true affection for her. And then we'll go into more of the sexual area after I take this call, if there's time. I want to hear what Paul has to say. Are you still there, Paul?
Yes. Hello, Carolyn.
Hi.
For one, I don't think I can make any headway out of any of this, because it's all behind closed doors. And mm-hmm. so a lot of it has to do with speculation by questionable historians with questionable agendas. And there's no worse work out there than The Mind of Adolf Hitler by Walter Langer, mm-hmm. which was, I think, commissioned by the OSS in the 40s and was really just such a despicable work.
And let me just interject here. You know, that I have that in that article that I mentioned earlier, The Myth of Adolf Hitler's Jewish Grandfather. It's at my website. And I wonder if you, have you ever gone there and read that?
No, I have not.
Well, you should. I really recommend that to all my listeners. It's very easy to access, and I put it all together for the very reason of getting all this stuff and showing where it came from and so on. But you go ahead now.
Yeah, well, I just want to say it's that book, Walter Langer's book, mm-hmm. is an indictment against Freudianism and how desperate and despicable these Freudian psychologists are, ascribing to Adolf Hitler the things they claim in the book, which I won't even mention because they're so vulgar.
Oh, I mentioned some of them in that article, but there's tons more. I mean, it's just amazing. You just have to use the word CRAP for it, because that's what it is.
It's despicable, and it shows how pathetic Freudianism is as a potential charlatan show business science. They claim it is. It's despicable that they would write such things about a deceased, he was alive at the time, just on conjecture. No, there's no knowledge.
No.
It's just the way they can fathom the human psyche, and then they can just figure out, well, he's supposedly, since he's an anti-Semite, a Semite, therefore he's crazy, and therefore, because he's crazy, he does this sexually. Now, oddly, Carolyn,
and they turn everything into dirt too.
And
they go crazy about dirt,
right? But no,
and also feces and stuff.
Right,
really,
right. It's disgusting. Yeah. And here's the other thing about this: these are the same people who advocate, you know, that anything goes and homosexuality is fine, mm-hmm. and all these things are, you know, normal. But then, when they want to, they'll pull out and say, oh, look at that guy, he's a homosexual, or this and this. All the things they say are just fine and dandy.
Mm-hmm.
One minute. A minute later, they ascribe all kinds of social pathologies later. You know.
You're right. You're right.
Or psychological pathologies.
Now, the thing is, why don't people see through this? Why do so many people love to go along with it? Because they like to talk about stuff like this, too. This is why this Freudianism ever worked, because people are just... their minds love to go down into the gutter. I'm sorry. And Hitler's mind was absolutely so far away from the gutter, you know?
Yeah, Now, one thing I am sympathetic towards concerning this, and I wonder about Hitler, is I remember reading that he might have suffered a groin injury and might have lost one of his testicles.
That's false, too.
In World War I.
That's false. And I talked about that on Friday a little bit. That's a false story. That comes from the Russians, who say they had Hitler's body, mm-hmm. and that they recovered from the chancellery,
right.
and that this body that they examined, and they didn't come out with this until way, way later,
mm-hmm.
had one testicle missing. And Heinz Linge, who I'm going to talk about next and give what he had to say, he was Hitler's valet, He mentions that they were questioning him about that.
Right, but even if he did, it's a war injury. He fought nobly in World War I.
He didn't have that war injury, and you know that doesn't stop you from having sex or from having children either.
Right. But it could impact. Could I say one more thing?
Well, hold on till we come back from the break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Earthquakes, violent weather, unemployment, the economy. What are you thinking? If you're thinking preparedness, be at the next Get Prepared Expo, September 9th and 10th, Springfield, Missouri, at the Downtown Expo Center. Learn how to grow your garden, drive down energy costs, survive inflation, prepare your home, and much more. Meet KWTO's instructors, Vincent Finelli and Mark Wright. Tickets only $9 at GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com. What happens next is up to you. Earthquakes, violent weather, unemployment, the economy. Attend John Stadmiller's What's in Store for You and John Moore's Abrupt Climate Change and 35 other seminars at the next Get Prepared Expo. September 9th and 10th, Springfield, Missouri, Downtown Expo Center. Talk with pros on surviving, preparing, defending, and thriving. Grammy winner Steve Voss will perform live. Tickets just $9 at GetPreparedExpo.com. RBN annual subscribers attend one day free. GetPreparedExpo.com. What happens next is up to you.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Paul from New Jersey is on the line. Paul, go ahead with your second comment.
Well, I just want to link this to the way they treat Jefferson also about supposedly him having an affair with Sally Hemings.
Yes.
And how many people who bring up the situation concerning there get it all wrong about Jefferson. They don't understand that when he was 63, supposedly, when the child in question was born, and that also that his brother, Randolph, used to cavort with the slaves on Jefferson's estate late into the evening. So, but people want to just project on these historical figures.
Well, I think that's a real agenda with Jefferson, as it is with Hitler, too. That's all about multiculturalism, you know, that, well, we're really all mixed together. And all these great founding fathers, you know, they had slaves and then they slept with their slaves. So all this stuff to make the blacks look better. And It's just, it's too bad. And I have read about that too. And I don't think that Jefferson had sex with Sally Henning.
Yeah, he would have been 63 at the time that child was born. Mm-hmm. And he was a very, we might say, prudish man, according to his daughter.
Yeah, he's a highly, just like Hitler. I mean, he was highly evolved, intelligent, yes, and so on. He had no need to go down to the slave quarter at night and sleep with a slave woman. I don't care how she might have been supposedly attractive or something. I mean, you know, that's just, his head was way above things like that.
Exactly. And that's the whole thing. And I just noticed is like a consistent attack against Gentile founders and great historical
sure
men.
Sure it is.
Yeah,
sure
so,
it is.
And so
okay.
we, yeah, and so on that note, I just, I'm agreeing okay. with you and enjoying your show.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
and thank you for that call, Paul. I'm going to try to stick in before the time runs out here. Just a little ending here from Heinz Linga, who was Hitler's valet. He was in Hitler's bedrooms all the time, you know, taking care of things. He woke him up every morning. He took care of things at night before he retired and so on. He was with him all the time. And in his book, he says that his observations led me to believe that the sexual relationship between Hitler and Eva Braun had been especially active on occasion. Now, he saw signs of that. I can't say what signs there were. He doesn't say. He's not, you know, going to reveal all this stuff. But he says, I do not know which of the two was more active. Eva Braun could be very sexy in the modern terminology, and so I suppose was Hitler, he wrote. Now, he also pointed out that at the Berghof, they had four rooms for their intimate life, two bedrooms and two bathrooms with connecting doors. I was responsible for the upkeep of these rooms. They had designed the plan for this private flat together. In the evenings when Hitler stayed at the Berghof, he would usually be alone with Eva in his study before they retired. She would wear just a dressing gown or house coat and drink sparkling wine while he would have tea. You know, as you know, he did not drink alcohol. Once when I entered the study without knocking, Hitler and Eva Braun were embracing in the middle of the room. Blushing, I did an about turn and disappeared. Now, why he blushed or why, I suppose, we don't know what state they were in embracing, but, you know, I'm not trying to allude to anything, but the fact, you know, this is just what he has seen. And he said that he called her Schnoxy. So it could still possibly be platonic, but I don't think so. And I don't think they would have always had these adjoining rooms, bedrooms, if it was. So that's what we have to say about Adolf Hitler's sex life today. Thank you for listening. Tomorrow, there might be a few things to clean up about this, but also I'm going to go into the 50th anniversary of the construction of the Berlin Wall that they were commemorating in Germany, and a few other things. See you then.